So I'm excited, but this word tonight, I really experience that we are at the start of a new season. Does anyone experience that? Not only because it's a new term, God uses these student things like holidays and new terms and things to just birth something new in us. Okay, so it's exciting. The working people, you'll get there sometime. You work through, you have a one long year, but the students, you kind of break your year up into four quarters. So this is the start of the third quarter, the second semester. So I trust that we're excited for a new season. But we are truly going into a new season as a church. Some of you might know already, but we are going to be moving from this venue in a month and a half's time. We don't quite know where we're going yet, but God knows. Amen. Okay, so. But you know, it really is a new season for us, and God wants to do new things in all of our lives. And that is a time for expectancy. That is a time for expectation. Wouldn't you agree? If there's a new season, isn't it a time to expect something? And so I want you to now turn to the person next to you in groups of two, preferably not three, otherwise the ladies will talk for too long. But just for 2 or 3 minutes, just share, what is your expectation for this new season that we're going into? What do you expect God to do? Okay, so just share with someone next to you and say, I'm expecting this and this. And the other person shares, I'm expecting this. And then we'll go on. As you're finishing up, hope you're not talking about anything else except your expectation. I want to say tonight that God is excited about your expectation. You see, it's always according to our faith that God operates. Because if we don't expect anything, God can't really move in our lives. God moves when we put our faith out and we say, God, we desire and we expect, we trust that you're going to do amazing things in this new season. And so I'm excited for what God wants to do through us as a church, because for the last while, the Lord has really been speaking to me about one thing, and it was just so confirmed by Jacobus and Rihanna tonight, is that I believe God wants us to just desire His presence. That He doesn't want to come and visit us. He doesn't just want to come and visit us on a Sunday and on a Wednesday and every now and again when we have church meetings. God wants to dwell with us. He wants to tabernacle with us. And so I don't know about you, but you know, it's just so awesome to hear these stories of how when God's presence comes, then lives change. Because many times we run after all sorts of other things, except the presence of God. And we just hope God is there, but we're trying for everything else except His presence. And in His presence comes many things. Miracles and wonders and signs will follow. And so for us as a church, I believe that it's time for us to really seek God and say, God, we don't want you to just visit us on a Sunday. We want you to dwell with us everywhere we go. Into our classrooms, into our workplaces, into our relationships, into every connection that we have with people. We want your presence to go. And I've been praying and saying, God, whenever we have a meeting, whenever I'm going to someone, even if I'm rushed, I just want to stop and say, God, I want your presence now in this meeting. I want your presence when I'm connecting with people. I want your presence to come and fill this meeting. Because otherwise we're just playing games and we're just carrying on with life. We're not desiring God to come and be the center of everything. Whether I'm talking to my kids or, you know, and things are going tough at home and the family, the kids are all difficult and everything, waking up at night and all that thing. I just want to say, God, I want your presence, that we do not say things that we shouldn't say, that we do not get upset unnecessarily. I want your presence in my life. I want your presence wherever I go. And so you see, some of you, I want to ask you this evening, how hungry are you? How hungry are you really for the manifest presence of God? Because it was confirmed on Thursday night. Who was here on Thursday? Some of you. At the SOS meeting. It was amazing. Because there I realized that it was confirmed to me again that all we need to desire is God's presence. The rest will follow. I don't want to desire a fancy building and, you know, an awesome church. And it would be great if we have that. But God wants to give us that. God wants to give us those things. But if we desire His presence, then we'll see things happening. And you see, it's like most of you will experience this one day, okay? Because there's not many in this room. Welcome to the parents, by the way. I see some parents here and the visitors. It's awesome to have you guys here. But some of you, most of you, will experience this one day when you have children, you see? It seems like it's going to happen a bit quicker than later for some people with all the engagements happening here. I hear there are quite a few engagements. So maybe the kids will come sooner rather than later for some of you. But for most of you, you'll experience it when a child comes into your life. Because when the child comes into your life, that life changes. Okay, the parents can testify to that with me. And that child doesn't just come to visit you and to go at night when the sleeping is tough, then they go visit someone else. The child stays there. You know about that child in the middle of the night. You know about that child when it wants food. It's there. The presence of that child is there. And it's the same with God. God wants to be like that in our lives. He wants to come and not just visit us and then leave again. He wants us to know about Him in our homes and in our lives. He wants us to experience Him every 24/7, every moment of the day. I just want to show you a quick video clip. It's one of my favorite singers, André de Villiers. I think some of you are too young to remember André de Villiers, but maybe the older folk will know. But it's an advert, so just watch quickly as Mariska plays it for us, and then we'll carry on.
You and me, we're made the same. We've got things to lose, we've got things to gain. And we see from different points of view. When I look at your life, it's like déjà vu. It's a little bit of you and me, and me and you. You got me, and I got you.
When a child comes into your world, your life changes forever.
Unfortunately, I couldn't. The rest of the YouTube clip didn't want to download, but it's just a few seconds. It says, when a child comes into your world, your life changes forever. Maybe your car should too. And then it says the new Toyota Camry, okay? But that's not the point, okay? Great for Toyota. They had a nice ad there. The point I want to make is two things tonight. First of all, when God comes into your life, there's change. When God's presence comes into your life, things change. And it's the same with when a child comes into your life, God wants to come and change our lives. That is the first thing. But this thing is that the difference with God is that He doesn't force Himself into our lives. He's a gentleman. He comes upon invitation. He comes when we invite Him and we expect Him to do things in our lives and to come and just be God in our lives. But the second thing that song says is that there's a little bit of me and you in me, if you heard that part. It's the same with God. God has created us in His image. He's created us to reflect His glory. And that's where I want to start tonight. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says the following, that God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And then He goes on to say, let them have dominion over everything, over the whole earth. And verse 27 says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. There's a little bit of God in us. God wants to manifest His presence in us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It says, let us make man in our image. We have been made, we've been created for the presence of God. We've been created by the presence of God. And we've been created for His glory. And that we can reflect His image to the world out there. That is why God created mankind at the beginning. To reflect His image to the world. And unfortunately, most of us know the story. If we read our Bibles, we see that Adam and Eve didn't obey. And so what happened? Let us read here in Genesis 3, verse 8. Interesting. I saw this, and it's just amazing. The first thing that happened after the fall was the following. This is now when they had sinned and everything, and they realized they were naked, and suddenly they started to run around making all sorts of plans. It says here, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves, watch this, from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The first reaction to sin and to when sin entered in was to hide from the presence of God. And further on in Genesis chapter 4 verse 16, it says that the first children that were born to Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Cain killed Abel. And what happened was, in verse 16 it says, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt as a vagabond, as a wanderer, a stranger there in that land of Nod. So the first thing that happened was the hiding from the presence of God. And that is our default thing to do as sinful people. Our default thing is to do exactly what Adam and Eve did. Hide from the presence of God. We are ashamed of the presence of God because, not ashamed of His presence, but we are ashamed of the sin within us. And so it's our natural tendency. And I don't know about you, but you know, many times in my life, I've just thought, Lord, I'll sort myself out first and then I'll come into Your presence. That is the default thing to, Lord, I just want to sort my sin out. I want to sort my shame out and then I can come into Your presence. And that is our default nature. Unfortunately, it's part of us. We're born as sinners and that is that. We cannot do anything about that. But I want to say that there's good news tonight, is that God's whole plan throughout the Bible, if you read the Word of God, His whole plan was simply to restore the presence of God in humanity. He wanted to restore his image in humanity, and he's still doing that today. And we can hear from the stories from all the missions teams and from stories when people go out reflecting God's glory, God starts to restore his image back to people. Isn't that exciting to be part of this? And so let us look at a few people tonight who desired God's presence and who understood something of God's restoration in mankind. The image that he wanted to restore because it was lost. The glory. The first one is Moses. So yeah, in Exodus chapter 33, the Lord says to Moses, Moses, I want you now to get out of Sinai, to leave. You've been given all your laws and all your things. I want you now to go into the promised land. But he says to Moses, Moses, you better tell these people they are a stiff-necked generation. And you can feel like God's frustration with these people because they are stiff-necked people. But he says, Moses, you better lead them into the promised land. But you know what? I'm going to go ahead of you. I'm not going to go with you, because if I go with you, I'm going to consume these people because they are a bit stiff-necked. So you must tell them that I'm not going to, I'm going to go ahead of you. So Moses responds to the Lord in verse 12, and he says, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. So Moses was wrestling a bit with God, like he always did from when he was called, always asking questions, always saying, okay, God, but you've said you're not going to go with me. So who is going to go with me, God? Because I cannot bring the stiff-necked people out of Sinai into the promised land on my own. I need supernatural power here. I need you to go with me, Lord. And he says, therefore, I pray, if I find grace in your sight, Lord, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And so Moses is saying, God, you need to show me what your plan is here, because I cannot do this on my own. And what does God come to say? He says to Moses, I see your faith. I see you believe that you're not going to do this on your own. You're actually saying to me, I need you. And I'm excited about that, Moses. And he says to Moses, my presence will go with you. And I will give you rest, he says. I will give you the answers, Moses. I will tell you everything. I'm going to be with you. Don't you worry. And so he says to God, if your presence, God, does not go with us, do not even bring us out from here. Do not let us go anywhere without your presence, God. And this is a man who understood that he could not do it by his own strength. He had come to the end of himself many times. He needed the presence of God in his life. And so I believe it's the same for us. We should be saying, God, next year when I go somewhere else, or, you know, if I've got to change jobs or wherever, if I've got to make a decision about the person I'm going to marry or whatever, God, if you're not with me in this, I'm not going to make a decision without your presence, God. And I've seen it. We traveled a couple of times. We've moved a couple of times from Stellenbosch up to Pretoria, yeah, to Bloem again. And I just realized if God hadn't come with us anywhere we went, me and my wife, then it would have been a flop. And you know, both times we had moved, God moved ahead of us. He moved with us. He confirmed his presence with us every time we went. And it's such a blessing to go with the presence of God. But there was other times in my life where I didn't go with the presence of God. For instance, when just the same year, when before I met Hester, or the previous year before I met Hester, I started to like this girl in Port Elizabeth, and I was working at Volkswagen for a while, and so we started to get together, and I just sort of thought, this is a nice girl, maybe it's my wife, and God didn't say anything like that. And I started dating this girl, and yeah, I found myself in a relationship, and God never said, I must go. God never said, I'm with you. God didn't give his approval, and it was the worst few, luckily it wasn't too many months, probably a month or two, and I suddenly found myself having to get out of this relationship that I had got myself in. God didn't approve of it. So I had to get out of this relationship, because God never said, my presence is going with you. I'm not approving this. I'm not going with you. I never checked with God. I never did. I just followed my own emotions. And so, you know, when the God's presence doesn't go with us, it's a mess. But when his presence does go with us, you know what? Things happen. Signs and wonders happen. God's presence is there to change our lives. And he said the following. He said, for how then will it be known? And he continues to tell God and preach at God. And he said, how will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us, God? God must have loved this guy, Moses, because he was just so confident in saying, God, if you do not confirm your presence with us, what difference are we going to make? And he says, so we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Moses saying to God, dear God, if your presence is not with us, what are we doing here? We're supposed to be making a difference. We're supposed to be reflecting your glory as your chosen people. But if you don't go with us, God, we're just the same as the others. And God is excited. And he said to Moses, you know what? I will do this thing that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. God confirming that he knew Moses' heart. He knew his heart to desire his presence. Moses' greatest desire was the presence of God. Isn't that cool? Say to someone, that's cool. And you know what? God honored his desire. God said, I want to be with you because I'm going to bless you with the cloud by day and the fire by night to confirm my presence. And we saw Moses speaking to God face to face, having to put a veil over his face when he spoke to his people because the people couldn't see his face was shining so bright. Moses knew God. He spoke to him face to face because he desired his presence wherever he went. And God could use him to lead the people by the cloud and by the pillar and by the fire. Isn't that what we need in this day and age? People in this city, people in this nation, people of the world don't need religion anymore. They need the presence of God, the manifest presence where God's glory is upon your life and upon your house and upon your family and upon this church. And you see, God wants the same desire in us that we say, God, we need you in everything you've called us to do. So I want to encourage us to seek God's presence more than anything at this time. Spend time with him and say, God, I'm going into this day, my studies, my workplace. We had a great discussion at Cell on Wednesday night about reflecting the glory of God and holiness and all these things. And I was just excited about what the people are starting to talk about, that we want to share God's glory. We want to have God's glory on our lives, but it's all about consecration and saying, God, I'm not going to go into this day without your presence. I'm going to go into this meeting and into this conversation with someone without your presence, God. I need you because why? The world must see that we're separate. The world must see that we're a holy and a consecrated nation. And they must want that. They must desire to have that peace in their lives. And I don't know about you, but if you see a person, a woman or man of God with God's presence in them, you just want that. You just want to be with that person. You want that same presence in your life. And the world out there is going to see God's glory upon our lives if we desire it. And then a second person who desired God's presence was David. And by the way, if you're following the Shofar movement and Fred's heart for this year, is to actually have the keys of David, to unlock the things that David could unlock in his life. That we as a movement, as Shofar, can unlock things in the spirit. That we can claim our inheritance that God has for us. And so he has a man who understood the keys of David. He had certain keys. And one of these keys was this exact thing. In Psalm 51, David is found in the worst sin in his life. He's just committed adultery. He's murdered someone. He's just really in a bad place. But you know what he says? After he's repented, he says to the following. He says, do not cast me away from your presence, God. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. He's saying the same thing there. He says that, listen, yeah, your presence is your Holy Spirit. And God, please, I want your presence in my life. But how many of us, when we've sinned or something, we do what Adam and Eve did and run away and try to make fig leaves and hide ourselves and make all sorts of plans except running into the presence of God. But David did this. His desire was simply that God's presence did not leave him. And three times the word Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Old Testament. The other times it's called the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the Lord. But three times the full name of Holy Spirit is mentioned. And one of them is mentioned here where David says, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Equating the Holy Spirit of God. He understood that the Spirit of God was his presence. And he wanted that presence in his life. And in Psalm 139, verse 7, he goes on. And yeah, he's not sort of caught up in sin or anything. He's caught up in worship, contemplating the greatness of God. And he says the following, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And he says, I can go down to hell and your presence is there. I can go up to heaven and your presence is there. I can go to the depths of the sea. Your presence is everywhere, God. You're an amazing, awesome God. He had this revelation that God's presence was all he wanted and all he needed. And he couldn't leave it. He couldn't get away from it. So whether you've sinned or whether you're in worship or whatever your situation is, you don't have to try to get into the presence of God. God's presence is there, but you need to recognize it and say, thank you, God, that I cannot escape your presence. And I want your manifest presence in my life. And God could trust David with many great things, and he could call him a man after his own heart, despite his fallenness, despite his weakness. And it's not like David was like free from challenges. It's not like he had this perfect life. You know, he was a king. You know, the highest trees catch the most wind. Die hoogste bome vang die meeste vuils. Die meeste uitdagings. The most challenges come to the person who's in a High position, okay? So when you're in a position of leadership, you have a few challenges. So David wasn't free from that. But he understood what happened when God's presence was with him. Three things that I just want to touch on tonight. First of all, he understood that when he had the presence of God, that his enemies would flee. In Psalm 9, verse 3. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. He understood protection for him, for his life. He understood that he was protected by the presence of God in his life. Oh, how great is your goodness, in Psalm 31, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. David knew that God's presence amounted to his own protection from everything that came against him. All his enemies, all his own emotions, God... His presence was what he wanted. And he understood that God's victory against the enemies was sure. And that his enemies would flee at the presence of God in his life. And I want to say to us this evening, there's good news. You and I can have that same assurance of our protection when we understand the presence of God in our lives. We don't need to fear. We don't need, do not need to go into strife and frustration and all the rejection and all these spirits that tend to bind us. We can have freedom and protection in the presence of God, just like David did. Then the second thing he experienced was joy. Psalm 16, verse 11, we all know the scripture. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Tell someone next to you, fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. David understood that there was joy in the presence of God. Doesn't matter what his circumstances. And how many of us run after happenings for happiness, you know? There's lots of happenings going on, lots of super rugby, you know, the Bulls losing, the Stormers winning, the Cheetahs going through to the top six. There's lots of sport happening, there's lots of events, the fray fierce, you know, where everything's like a fray and so on. And I'm not saying those things are bad, okay, rugby's great, I love rugby. I love happenings. But you know, if happenings determine the joy in our lives, we're never going to have the fullness of joy from the presence of God. And he says the following in Psalm 21 verse 6. He's talking about the king, obviously himself. And he says, you know, the king is so blessed. You have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. And David knew the joy of the presence. It was not a heavy thing to come into the presence of God. Why? Many times we come into the presence of God, so what do we focus on? Our sin, ourself, our shortcomings, our weaknesses. David didn't do that. He focused on the greatness of God. And he was more God-focused than sin-focused or self-focused. And so he could worship God and he realized the greatness of God. And that gave him joy. He wasn't intimidated by his weaknesses and by all his shortcomings. And he understood what the Bible says in Nehemiah about the joy of the Lord being our strength to overcome anything. The presence of God gives us joy. And sometimes some of us must just get out sometimes, you know, get out into nature, get out into a place where you can just see God's glory again. You know, yesterday I went for a run with Tad. I don't think Tad's here tonight, but now, when you go for a run with Tad, just know this, okay? Here's a tip for all the long distance athletes out there, okay? I'm a long distance athlete. When you run with Tad de Villiers, he's a 400 meter hurdle athlete, okay? So what he will do to you, he understands that you're a long distance athlete, so he will try to run very fast at the start to get you into hectic lactic acid in your legs that you... Don't, you know, because I can go on forever. Okay? I'm a long-distance athlete, but Tad is now fast. So he runs yesterday, and I think, yes, how's this guy going to run 10Ks at this pace? So he starts at one huge pace, and I'm not so fit at the moment, so I'm quite tired. I'm thinking, I don't know how long we're going to run for, but I'm half dying here. But anyway, Tad's just going on now. And so at the end of the run, we're quite tired, both of us. But anyway, it was a great experience. Okay, we went into woodlands, and it was just awesome to get out into nature again and just see the beautiful sunrise. Woke up early yesterday morning. It was so amazing, you know, to be out there, even though I was tired and half dying. But afterwards, I found out he was actually dying more than me, okay? Because I think he started to fast even for himself. So, Dad must just learn to pace himself. Tell him that. I said so. Okay. I'm only joking. But it was so amazing to get out into nature and to get out into see God's goodness. You know, even here in Bloemfontein, God is awesome, okay? It might not look like the Western Cape. For those of you who come from the Western Cape and the Boland region, okay? You've got huge mountains. But yeah, we've got awesome planes, you know. The planes are also great. And a few copies here and there, okay. But God's greatness is awesome, and we must get out and say, God, we want to live life. Your joy is our strength. We want to experience you and worship you. David understood the joy and the gladness in the presence of God. The constant presence of God in our lives. Third thing that he experienced was vindication. He says here in Psalm 17, let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. David understood, and the word vindication there, I looked it up, the Hebrew word means verdict. It means sentence or law, justice, right, privilege, judgment. This here is talking about salvation. God judges us according to his presence in our lives. That's how David understood that he was in right standing with God. Why? Because God's presence was in his life. His vindication came from the presence of God. Isn't that amazing? And so our vindication, our salvation, our judgment, God judges us according to the presence of God in our lives. And the only way we can have the presence of God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. We'll see this a little bit later. And so we must understand that our vindication comes from God's presence. Our right standing with God comes from his presence. That's what David understood in his life. And so to continue, the last few scriptures that I want to mention tonight, Jesus Christ came for this purpose. Listen to this. In Matthew 1 verse 23, it says the following, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Tell someone next to you, God with us. God with you. Jesus Christ came to be the presence of God with us. See, Moses and David didn't have that privilege. They lived on the other side of the covenant previously to when Jesus came. And they were one of the few people that were equipped and endowed by the presence of God. They were leaders to lead other people into God's presence. But today, we have a different dispensation. This is the gospel. And you see, Jesus came here to be the presence with us. He was filled with the Holy Spirit even from the start, because Jesus was part of the Trinity who created mankind. So Jesus knew the Spirit. He was at one with the Spirit. But he was conceived by the Spirit, lived by the Spirit, died by the Spirit. But then he told his disciples, listen here, I'm with you now, but I'm only with you in one person. I can only be at one place at one time. But you know what? Good news is coming for you and for all the people coming after you. John 14. He says, I will pray the Father. This is when he's telling the disciples, don't be afraid, I'm going away now, but you know what? I'm going to come back. And he says to the following, I will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He's saying, listen, I'm with you now. I'm dwelling with you now by the Spirit. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm here with you now in person. But you know what? I'm going to be with you. And not only with you. I'm going to be with a lot of people when Pentecost comes. And I'm going to be with a lot of people till the end of the age. But it's up to them to want me to be in their lives. But I'm going to be here. My presence is going to be poured out on all flesh. And things will start to happen. Miracles, dreams and visions and signs and wonders and interesting things. But my presence is going to be poured out. And that is what Jesus Christ came to be with us. And today is with us by Spirit. Isn't that such good news? That we can have the presence of God in our lives. So I'm really excited and expectant for this season. Because once we realize this, God is going to come and manifest himself and his glory in our lives personally, as cell groups, as a church. And in Bloemfontein, we're going to say, God, come and be here in the city. Your presence needs to be in the city. The city will not change except for your presence, God. And lots of people are praying and have been praying for years for God's presence to come into the city. And he's busy doing it person by person. Because he's here. His presence is here. It's just that people need to respond to his presence. Because he'll not force himself in to any life. But the Holy Spirit has been poured out. Jesus came and he died a terrible death so that we can have the presence of God in our lives. God with us, Emmanuel. And look at this, the last scripture this evening. This is now when Peter and John were preaching to the people and they were just full of the Holy Spirit, the word says. And it says the following, when these people saw the boldness of Peter and John in Acts 4 verse 13, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Not only been with Jesus a few years when he was on earth, but they had been with his Spirit. They were empowered by his Spirit, which was poured out upon the first disciples. And they could preach with boldness. They could do signs and wonders. The presence of God flowed through them, just like people will testify in the next few years and months about what happened in Mozambique, what happened in Uganda, and what's going to happen in Lesotho when we go, and what's going to happen when we go into our classes and into our workplaces. What's going to happen when we say, God, your presence must go with us, otherwise we're wasting our time. Boldness came upon them because they had been with Jesus. And the great thing is for us tonight is that we can say, Jesus, we invite you into our lives. We don't want to play religion anywhere. We don't want to just play church and play, have a few activities that look like church. We want your presence in everything we do, God, in our lives, through our lives. Come and be the presence and the fragrance of the world out there. Because the world wants this. The world wants to marvel at the glory of God. Because everyone, whether they like it or not, they actually want to reflect the glory of God. Because that was how God created man, in his image, to reflect his glory. And some people are just looking for it everywhere else because the devil is out there like a roaring lion, keeping people away from the fullness of God. But I know and I believe that when God starts to move, lives will change. Religion will break, pride will break, racism will break. Everything that holds people back from the fullness of the glory of God will break. But let us start with, in our church and in our lives, let us say, God, we want your presence. We want to desire nothing else except the presence of God in our lives. So come, as the band comes forward, let us all stand this evening and just respond to what God is doing tonight. God wants to restore his glory in your life, through your life, his presence, by his Spirit. God wants to give you joy. He wants to give you vindication, assurance of your salvation. He wants to give you freedom and protection. He wants to give you life in a nutshell, to sum it up. He wants to give you life because life outside of God is not life. It could be a great happening. It could be a great experience. And God doesn't only want to give you life for yourself. He wants to give you life so that others' lives can be impacted. But it starts with saying, God, when I go to this day, when I go into my class, when I go to my work, God, I want your presence. When I have a meeting, God, I want you to do amazing things because of your presence. And I don't even desire amazing things, God. I simply desire to know that you're there. And when I have that assurance that you're there, you know what, God, nothing else actually matters. Because we don't need to worry whether God is going to maybe be there and do things. God will do things when he's there. But many times the Holy Spirit is not welcome in our lives and through our lives. The Holy Spirit is boxed in and he wants to just do amazing things and be free. He wants you to be free and that he can also be free in your life to rule and reign. But tonight I want to ask you, how hungry are you? Are you like Moses and David, hungry for the presence and saying, God, I'm not going to do anything without you going with me? And if you really want it tonight, I want to say that God is so excited to give it to you. He's so excited to bless you with his presence. No matter where you are in your life, no matter where you are in your thoughts even right now, God wants to give you his presence and fill you up that it will overflow. His presence is too great to contain in one body. But are you willing to yield tonight? Are you willing to surrender and say, God, I want this? And it's not something that just must happen tonight. It will happen tonight, but it must happen every day. Let's all close our eyes this evening. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Lord, we say you are the only one that can give us life. We thank you, Lord, that salvation happened for us many years ago, Lord. We're just walking in the fullness of what you've done on the cross 2,000 years ago. You broke open the veil. You tore the veil that we can come fully into the presence of God because you, Jesus, went into the presence for us. Lord, you had to suffer many things to get into the presence. You had to experience the wrath of the Father on your life, separated from your Father, that we can have the presence in our lives today. And we want to thank you that you tore the veil, that the Spirit could have been poured out on all flesh. And Lord, when we look at the bigger picture, it's all not for our glory or for our nice experience. It's so that you can restore the fullness of God in every person's life. You want to restore it in our lives tonight, God. And then you want us to be the instruments and the vessels where people can hear about your goodness and see your miracles, see the shining face, Lord, when we've been with you, and to marvel like they did with the disciples when people saw that these people had been with Jesus, and they were looked very weird, uneducated, untrained. Who are they to manifest your glory? But yet, Lord, you chose the foolish things of this world to manifest your wisdom, to manifest your glory. And tonight we say, Lord, we are foolish people. We miss you many times, God. We repent of our fig leaves and our trying to save ourselves, running away from your presence and trying to make plans first before we come into your presence. But tonight, Lord, as we repent of that, we run to your presence tonight, and we ask that you would come, fill us with your presence again, Lord. Thank you that you're faithful, God. We're hungry and thirsty after you. We just worship you tonight, Lord. Give you our hearts tonight.